on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday edition of InvestTalk. It is August 20th, 2015. And as it is Thursday, Justin is with me today.
Great to be here, Steve, Thank you for coming on this very interesting day.
Yeah, it was a good day. Well, good day, I guess. I don't know if
it was an interesting day.
A day that we kind of anticipated. How about that?
Yeah, I was kind of expecting.
Well, I've been telling clients now who email me with stock eye questions and people on the radio, be a little patient right now.
Be careful.
You don't have to be rushing into buying stuff. So today kind of put a little confirmation of that attitude. And I'm still saying, be a little patient. There's no big rush here.
I think this is just the beginning, not the end.
Well, we just don't know, but I don't think it's the end, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Thanks for being with us, everybody. We do appreciate it. You've decided to listen to us this 1 hour. We'll try to make the best use of the time. As always, our mission is to help you make better choices, spending, savings, investing your money, including investing for your children's education or your for you know, college or for your retirement, or maybe you want to buy a house and you're saving for that. Whatever the reason is, we hope to help make you better decisions. So there's other things you have to decide too. Should you invest, for instance, in long-term care policy? You know what a long-term care policy is? Should you buy one of those? If you want to know my opinion, give me a call and ask. And part of our job here, Justin, my job, is to ask and answer the hard question. Here's one. Do you have an investment plan? Yes or no? People say they're whole saving money. Well, that's, you know, the statistics show that hardly anybody is saving any money out there. You know, for their retirement, they're not saving enough. Most people are not. We gotta help you move towards saving more money. Now, there are many traders in the financial industry all working side-by-side in the same mayhem, blowouts, financial blunders that the industry routinely produces. There's little difference in most areas between the net winning and losing trades. There's not that much. All of them have a good understanding of basic market fundamentals. All my competitors do. Justin and I have the same understanding as most of the other competitors. However, one thing that separates the winners from the losers, all things being equal, is the net winners have a trading plan in addition to other skills. We have a plan, what we're going to do. So, do you have a plan? Do you know what you're going to do? Do you guard against the possibility of a market that collapses? Do you take any precautions? Or do you just blindly stay with the market? And if you do stay with the market, long term, it will work. It will. But long term can mean 20 years. Doesn't mean a year, 2 years, 3 years. It doesn't mean that.
Yeah, I would say anything within 2 years would be short term. Two to, what would you say, 10, kind of medium?
Yes.
Term?
Yeah.
Maybe 2 to 7, medium term. Maybe I think 7 years longer.
Yeah, maybe. There's no real definition of
there
it.
There isn't,
but,
yeah.
But that's kind of the ballpark that we consider short, middle, intermediate, and long-term investing. So what's your timeline horizon? So a system is kind of important. A trading system, a strategy, it's kind of important that helps you, take advantage of what's going on in the market. Even if your system is buy and hold, my experience is no one's a buy and holder, or very few people are buy and holders. They say they are.
Until they get punched in the mouth.
Yeah.
You know? It's like Mike Tyson says, every fighter has a plan until you get him in the ring and you punch him in the mouth, and then their plan goes awry. And that's what most people do, is they invest and they think they have a plan, and then they start to lose money or they make a mistake and their plan goes haywire.
So do you have any questions over any money matters that you can get through right now? Our number is 888-99-CHART. If you'd like to get a question between programs, call the same number. So let's take this question that came in before today's program.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Ryan, a podcast listener from New Hampshire. I am currently a 21-year-old debt-free college student with plans to attend medical school after I graduate this upcoming spring. As of now, I have about $11,000 in available funds I'd like to invest. $5,500 would go to a Roth IRA, and the rest would go to an individual brokerage account. The plan is to add to both over time. Being so young and ahead of the game, I have a very high risk tolerance. I wouldn't lose sleep over a 40% loss. However, I also don't want that to happen. I'm thinking that I split the money in the Roth IRA between small cap, large cap, and international Vanguard ETFs because they have the low expense ratio. I plan on holding those for a good probably 10, 20 years, if not more. For the individual account, I'm thinking of putting a strong load in a few oil and gas stocks and then one or two in financials and transportation. Because I have so little cash, diversity is extremely hard. And all, if I did get diversity, the fees would probably just eat me up. Would you say this is a fair plan to my risk tolerance? If you have any other advice, that'd be great.
I have no problem with the Roth where he's buying, you know, the Vanguard. But the other part, I would suggest ETFs in the sectors that he's talking about.
Yeah, I'm not so sure those the best sectors,
no.
But they're not bad sectors, I'd say.
But don't buy individual stocks if you don't have enough money for
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and he mentioned that, which makes yeah. sense, and he's going to be a doctor, so he's a yeah. smart kid. So seems like he kind of gets it, and the general plan is pretty good. I would go with your brokerage account. I might mix in a little more diversity, right, because he has financials and
oil and gas.
Oil and gas, and he has he wanted transports.
Yeah.
And that's all very cyclical. And so I would add some more anti-cyclical stuff. Like,
maybe healthcare?
Consumer. I would go consumer staples.
Staples.
Maybe some consumer discretionary. But I like the staples area because that will build better over time.
Good question. And congratulations on not having debt graduating from college. But probably going to have some debt graduating from medical school.
At least he's going to medical school. I got to congratulate him on that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having more doctors.
Yep.
Better than being a lawyer, right?
Yeah, we don't have enough, really. Does your portfolio reflect your needs or your emotions? Your needs or your emotions? That's going to be one of our main talking points today. Many people are holding on to a lot of cash and bonds. And bonds have done very, very well over the last 10, 15, 20 years, okay? So, but is that true going forward? See, this is, don't, remember, I said yesterday, and this old saying from my partner, Jerry Klein, don't invest looking in the rearview mirror. Always invest looking in the windshield.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look back. So people are looking back and looking at all the returns on bonds and how non-risky it's been and steady over the last umpteen years.
Mm-hmm.
That may not be true looking forward. Interest rates are very, very low. So that's going to be one of our talking points. I do want to get to, is it good advice to pay the small amount of debt you have or pay the big amount of debt you had, even though the bigger debt is more expensive? Should you pay down smaller amounts, even though they're cheaper, or bigger amounts? There's some psychology in this, and I wanted to talk about that. There's been a study. Also, keeping the bubble boom going. It's a little article I found that I think is pretty interesting. I think, Justin, you sent this to me.
I did send that to
you. I think
yes.
You sent it to me, which I thought was kind of an interesting little article. We want to talk about that. Two indicators that are telling you to buy stocks. Now, I've been kind of negative in the last week or so, telling you about the red flags that we see. And, you know, obviously there are. But I don't want to be overly negative. So I thought I'd say, well, there are a couple of indicators that might tell us that, you know, maybe it's getting close to being a buy signal. What do you think those indicators are? Kind of interesting. So those are things I want to talk about. You have anything you want to discuss today?
I really like that second article. That's why I sent it to you. And I think it's a great,
keeping the bubble,
it's a great
going.
Synopsis of where we're at, what environment,
how we got there,
how we got where we're at today. And whether that's sustainable.
And what happened in the market today? The Dow was down 356. I'm not misspeaking. 356 points down today. The NASDAQ down 139 points.
That's the biggest drop I've seen in the NASDAQ in a long 142 points. 142 points on the NASDAQ.
Well, it depends on where you look. You know, yeah. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking on MarketWatch.
I know.
142.
I was looking.
But still, that's still one of the. I mean, I've seen 142 points on the NASDAQ down in a long time.
Yeah, 44 points down on the S&P 500. Mm-hmm. And everybody, that's right around 2% for the Dow and the S&P and almost 3%, 2.8% on the NASDAQ. And remember, I've said before, NASDAQ usually leads up or down. Mm-hmm. And so the question you're all going to ask me, well, is it time to buy now? Should we buy now? And the answer I'm going to give you is no. Be patient.
I think we could have a short-term bounce. But if you look technically, the trends, today was a major trend break.
Yeah, on downward.
Downward. On a lot of the S&P, on the Dow, even the NASDAQ, the NASDAQ closed below the 200-day moving average, which, you know, a month ago when we were sitting here, it was very far away from the 200-day moving average. Yeah. And it got there in pretty quick order, and it broke it today. There were some head and shoulders patterns that broke on biotechs, on the NYSE. I mean, there's a lot of interesting bad negative breaks to the market.
What I find interesting is, remember, the Fed is meeting next in the middle of next month. If the market continues to look this ill, regardless of the other economic statistics, will that influence the Federal Reserve?
Because the Fed, they even said, they blatantly said, our goal of doing QE and having loose monetary policy is to boost asset prices, which improves optimism in the market and the economy and increases consumer spending and the wealth effect. So the wealth effect is going negative at this point.
Yeah, so does that mean now they may not do an interest rate hike? I'm curious. If of course, we don't know how bad the market's going to be.
Well, the minutes that came out yesterday from the Fed meeting was not very optimistic about a September hike because they didn't see inflation going up.
Well, but they also said that it's getting closer. What does that mean?
But
the indicators.
They said that. They also said that in December.
I know.
And they said by middle of 2015 we should be able to, you know, raise rates by middle 20. Well, guess what? We're well past now, middle of 2015. We're getting into the latter part of 2015
now,
by September.
I want to make it clear. I won't speak for Justin, but I don't think they should raise the rates. I don't. I don't think we're strong enough. I don't think the world economy is strong enough. I don't think it's a good time to do that.
Yeah, the first half of the year, we're at, on average, about 1.5% growth in GDP, which is not a recession, but that's certainly not strong growth.
No, they indicated 3% that they were going to
expecting
3%
this year
that they thought they'd get. They're getting that. News from Financial Headlines in InvestTalk.com. Only one Fed policymaker was ready to vote for a rate hike at the central bank's meeting in late July. While some others viewed the economic conditions are beginning to increase the target range for the federal funds rate as having been met, they were confident that they would be met shortly. So does that mean, as Justin and I just said, does that mean it's going to happen? I don't know. Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART.
It helps to have perspective as you negotiate the ups and downs of the stock market. Seeing the cycles, how to recognize and harness the power of market cycles. That's just one of the recorded webinars that you can access anytime when you're an InvestTalk insider. Join up right now. It's free on InvestTalk.com.
Hi, Steve. This is Dan from San Jose. I wanted to find out your opinion on LVS, Larry Victor Sam. I like your program and will listen on the podcast. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, I like Las Vegas Sands, but the numbers don't look great, but I like Las Vegas Sands. So why is that? I like the industry because it's not too cyclical. Mm-hmm. And I like, in Las Vegas Sands, a lot of the bad news is out about Macau. So it's already out there in the stock price. And, of course, the stock has fallen, I don't know how many, 10 days in a row or so.
Well, it's really fallen hard now because of the yuan depreciation.
Yeah.
Well, because, remember, Las Vegas Sands, Wynn, a lot of these casino names have had tremendous growth because of Macau and the growth there. And they, I think, I'm pretty sure they gamble with Chinese yuan, not American dollars.
Not American dollars. That's right. Yeah. So the question is, it pays a very high dividend, 5.3%, and that's probably pretty secure. Cash flow is strong. Sales have been going down, and Macau is the main cause of that. You have to be patient. You got to wait till you see some strength of this dollar.
You have to be optimistic on China. If China continues to slide economically, so will Las Vegas Sands.
Yeah, because of their Macau holdings.
Exactly.
We talk about the six steps to investing success. Number one is organize. I try to help with that process whenever I meet with clients. I really want to try to get you organized. If you need to help getting your financial life in order, let's talk about it. You can do it right now. 888-99-CHART is how to get through anytime on our 24-hour listener line. We can talk live. We're live right now, 4-5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. I'm here for you with Justin on Invest Talk.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. It's not just when, but how and what. Planning your retirement is all about answering questions. There are 7 important questions that need answers, and we can help. Answers to critical retirement questions, that's our talking point for Friday's podcast. So bring your questions and join us then.
888-992-4278, that's our number. We'd love to talk to you. Give us a call. Justin and I would be happy to discuss whatever's on your mind. Now, is your portfolio running towards something or from something? And this is all about emotions. People don't look at their portfolio in a hard, cold fashion. They look at their portfolio. Many of them, I hear this all the time. Well, I bought that. I'm going to wait till it gets even, then I'm going to sell it. It has nothing to do with proper management of a portfolio. This has worked for the last 10 years, so I'm going to hold on to it.
Yeah, or I like this stock because they're doing this and they're going to rule this industry, or they're developing this and it's going to be, you know, the next big thing. And they ignore the numbers, they ignore the actual fundamentals of the company. It's just a story.
Those are not sound decision-making thinking, everybody. You don't look at the past and think it's going to repeat, because it generally doesn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can, but it generally does. You have to look at your portfolio and decide, first of all, what kind of investor are you? How much risk do you want to take? Because your portfolio could be much less risk 10 years ago, and today it could be much higher risk. Are you different? Have you taken a look at that? What's your own personal risk tolerance? Mm-hmm. Can you handle 40% down like the guy earlier that's going to be the doctor? Mm-hmm. Can you handle a 40% correction?
A lot of people can't.
No.
I got a call, or I got an email actually a couple days ago from a listener saying that he owned Tesla and Google because he thinks that driverless cars are going to be the next big thing and that they're going to dominate that area. And I said, my reply was, well, you're not looking at the fundamentals. All you're looking at is a story. And B, the driverless car, while I think he's right, there will be driverless cars at some point in our future, but it's likely to be 10 to 15 plus years out, not 2 to 3 years out.
And it may not be Tesla.
And it may not be
Google.
I would say if I were to bet on that the leaders are going to be Tesla and Google or the field, I'm going with the field.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going with some other company that may not even exist today.
Yeah.
Or maybe a company that doesn't even do it today. But they'll develop that expertise over the next, you know, umpteen years. So, going on a story, it's interesting, it's nice. But a lot of times those stories play out many, many years. Look at the tech bubble, you know, in 2000. We're in another tech bubble now. But a lot of those companies went bankrupt because they didn't have a sound business strategy, and they didn't become the leaders of the tech space. Amazon and Google's of the world did. But nobody knew in 2000 that Amazon and Google were going to be the companies that would survive, right?
Yeah. I remember Jerry and I talking on the radio saying that this company has no way to make money. This company has no way to make, there's no business plan. This company is not going to make, why would you want to own a company that doesn't make money? Over and over and over. And the same thing is true today. You know, today is, well, this company makes money, but the earnings and sales are going down and it's still way overpriced. That's what you're hearing from us now. Mm-hmm. And it's true. There are areas of the market that are now underpriced, energy being one of them. Mm-hmm. Now it's a question of, is it time to get in? Are we too early? Don't let the emotions rule you. Look at the fundamentals. Well, have they changed? Is the earnings going to get better? Is oil still going to fall? I get a lot of oil questions, and I say, well, where do you think oil is going to go? If you think it's going to go to $30 a barrel, it's too early. You know, and it's at $40 a barrel now, almost 41. You're too early. But there are a lot of bargains over there, a lot. Mm-hmm. That's where the bargains are right now. The bargains are not in the tech. Many tech companies are overpriced, especially the big tech. The only exception I know of is Apple.
But Apple's now confronting problems with China. China's slowing down. A lot of their growth is in China. And, you know, there's still risk. So just because something is cheap and it's probably good investments over the long term doesn't mean that it can't go down in the short term, because it can have, you know, issues for various reasons. And you have to be able to ride through those issues. And if you aren't, then it's not the right investment for you.
No.
And that goes back to having a plan.
Yeah. You might want to have a plan.
Yeah.
And then invest to your plan, whatever mm-hmm. that is. Mm-hmm. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We're going to talk about a number of things. Two indicators that are telling you to buy stocks now. Here I am talking about buying stocks, and the market has just got crunched today. What is Steve doing?
Well, you're just talking about what... There's always bull arguments, there's bear arguments.
We've been talking about red flags for well over a couple of weeks. I mean, even, you know, going back a month or two, even longer, that we're way overdue for a correction, and looks like we're having one, or in the start of one at least. But I don't want to always be negative. It's not always negative. This correction is health restoring. No matter what happens to it, how deep it is, it's a good thing to happen.
Remember, when you walk into the store and it's a sale going on, you get excited. Stock market, for some reason, people don't get very excited.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that way. Coming up on InvestTalk 101, why is trading volume so important? Trading volume. Why is that important? We're always open to your questions anytime. 888-99-CHART.
Part of the InvestTalk experience is visiting our website, investtalk.com. And one of the reasons for a visit is Steve's market commentary. Just go to investtalk.com and scroll down to his market commentary.
Chart. That's our number. We'd love you to use it. Our first priority is answering your questions. So let's pick up a call that came in before today's program on our 24-hour listener line. Same number, 888-992-4278.
Hey, Stephen, Justin. This is Chris from Louisville. I wanted to get your opinion on, after the events of what's happened today in the market, what do you all think about shorting? For example, the S&P is now under a 200-day moving average and is somewhat in a free-for-all. Or free fall, and wanted to see if shorting would be a good opportunity to take advantage of how the market's acting right now, and just kind of wanted to get you guys' take and your own conversational points on it. Thanks a lot. Enjoy the show.
Yes.
Well, I would just say that we are shorting the indexes and have been shorting them the last few months or 6 months or so, and the answer would probably be yes. It looks like it broke all support today.
The issue with shorting is you have to know when to get out.
When do you think it's going to stop?
I think the S&P is going to 1800.
But that's a guess.
But that's
what he thinks. But that's based on what he's looking at a chart.
I could be wrong.
He's looking at a chart. What he's doing.
Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, okay, support's broken. Where is the next major support? Major support's 1800.
Well, if you go to, we're looking at charts, everybody, just so you know. Yeah. You go to last October's low, mm-hmm. And that's around 1850 or so-ish?
1820 was the low.
Okay, so I wouldn't be surprised it goes there.
Yeah.
Would not surprise me at all. Mm-hmm. And everybody's at, well, remember, it's at 2,056 now. That's a little over 10% from here. So that would be probably a total, what,
14? That would be a typical correction.
Yeah, that would not be abnormal.
Yeah.
Not be abnormal.
It wouldn't be a bear market. Bear market's 20% or more.
But, you know, I think people perceive it as a disaster. Because we haven't seen anything like that in a long time, right? I mean, can't you just see people being a disaster?
It would be fairly health restoring, I think.
Yeah, I think it'd be good. Yeah. I think we get a nice rally from that, hopefully. Yeah. It could go deeper, you know.
Yeah. But I think we do get a rally at that point, and then, you know,
we'll see.
Yeah, it could be a new bull market, you know, continuation of the bull market. Because right. Remember, if it doesn't go 20%, it's not a bear market, and the bull market is still there.
Yeah,
right. And it'll be interesting to see. I think it'll be interesting how the Fed reacts if it gets there.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah. Remember, we had the 19% correction in December of 2011. You know how many death crosses that there were then, and how everybody was predicting, oh, this is terrible. And then the market just turned around, went right
the
back
Fed started printing money again, and everyone
we'll see.
Went crazy.
We'll see. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, two indicators are telling you to buy stocks. And these indicators are sentiment indicators. These are contrarian indicators. The investor's intelligence, bull-bear ratio, which polls investment pros on their market outlooks, fell last week for the third week in a row to a 10-month low of 2.16. A reading below 2 is clearly a buy signal, and we're pretty darn close. So after today, you might.
Yeah, you probably are.
You're probably
there. I don't like that indicator. You know why? On either way. Because it's so short term. All of a sudden, we have a 3 or 4% rally from here, which, you know, certainly could happen. You know, that will flip, and then it can be overbought, you know, for a short period of time. So I don't like it. Certainly from a long-term perspective, I don't like.
Yeah, it's not. I don't think it is a long-term perspective.
Yeah.
The other one is the buy-sell ratio of insiders. Mm-hmm. And this is Vickers Weekly Insider Report, stock newsletter. And it reported that the levels that it is right now says that this is bullish because so many people are bearish. Now, if you just stand back a little bit, when everybody is very bearish and everybody thinks doom and gloom, that usually is a bullish indicator. Usually bullish. Now, after reading these and looking at it and the whole report, the bullishness is 6 months after they reach these numbers. So it's not like, okay, buy today and it'll be up now. No, 6 months after they reach these signals, the market is higher. So that doesn't mean the market can't go lower now.
And bear markets, we've read it before, I think, bear markets usually last a short period of time. They last a lot less time than bull markets. Bull markets last 5, 6, 7 years or more. And bear markets last 8 months to, you know, maybe 2 years, slightly over 2 years at the max.
Yeah, and we're not even talking about a bear market right now. We're talking about correction. Mm-hmm. We might move into a bear market. I can't tell you that we won't, but usually that's a precursor to a recession. Mm-hmm. And we don't have that on the horizon yet. So we'll be watching for it, though. It's time for Invest Talk 101, why trading volume is so important. The volume of trades made, why is that so important? Trade volume is a measurement activity, right, of what buys and sells of that day. And Justin and I were looking at volume for the various indexes today. And the trading volume kind of spiked. But I would not say that the spike was
extreme.
Yeah, I wouldn't say
it was
say
high,
that.
But it wasn't extreme. And that to me, usually extreme marks turning points.
Yes.
And so that's why I say I think there's more downside because it wasn't extreme. If it was extreme and everybody and their mother wanted to get out, then you probably say that's at least a short-term, you know, turning point.
Well, we would look for capitulation. Mm-hmm. And capitulation means high volume with the stock market falling sharply. Well, we had the stock market falling sharply today. But we didn't have the high volume. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes up a little bit tomorrow.
Let's give you a good example of that. back in October, which was the low. Remember, we had the big sell-off in September, October of last year? And the very bottom of the market, the SPY, which is the most active index, S&P 500 ETF, traded at 380 million shares that day. And that was extreme. That was much higher. Averages around 100 million or so. Okay, so that was
for the SPY.
For the SPY. That was over three times the average day volume. Today, it was high. It was about 194 million shares. But that wasn't that extreme, you know, three times the average daily volume or more. So it was certainly elevated, and it was maybe about double average volume, but it wasn't extreme.
So on volume, you're looking for increasing volume. What does that mean, whether the market goes up or down? Mm-hmm. What does it mean there was hardly any volume when the market is up or down? What does it mean anything? And I will say this. Much of the time, volume doesn't mean a lot. Much of the time, it's just volume.
Yeah, it's usually at those extreme levels is when you really start to see volume meaningful. Matter.
Yeah, it matters. Something's happening.
Exactly.
The market has its own language, and it's pretty hard to understand that language sometimes. Mm-hmm. But volume is one of the things that the market is telling you something's happening.
Exactly.
Okay? That's InvestTalk 101. Is there a topic you want to know more about? Get in touch. We're here right now for at 888-99-CHART. Or you can write me a note by clicking on Contact Steve or hit Contact Justin at investtalk.com. Now we're going to go to Dabinder in San Jose. How you doing, Dabinder?
All right. Can you check for me one company, PMC Sierra, PMCS?
Sure,
Do
you own it right now? Do you own it or you want to buy it?
Yes, I have some share. I want to add some more.
Okay. It designs controller, framers, line, interface units,
It's a semiconductor company.
It's called, the symbol is PMCS, PMC Sierra Inc. And it looks like a pretty stable company. No debt. Earnings are growing this year, next year, pretty high. Sales are kind of flat. There's where I have an issue. Why are the sales flat and still showing earnings are growing, but the sales are flat? You got to turn that around. You can't keep growing earnings when your sales are not growing. So there would be the little thing that I would be worrying about.
Yeah, last quarter, sales fell 2% and earnings were flat after growing earnings, you know, in the mid, about 20% on average for the past year and a half or so. So that's really the issue. And then the whole industry as a whole, you know, Micron is one of the largest semiconductors out there, makers out there, and they've been really taking it on the chin. You look at SMH, which is the semiconductor ETF, really hurting. So this is just a sector that's not doing well. It's cyclical. And I would say this is probably going to go lower. I don't think this is at a level yet where you buy. Is it cheap?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's relatively cheap.
It's on based on next year's earnings, it's a 10 PE, but that's not extremely cheap.
Yeah.
So I would be patient here, I've been saying a lot. Let's see where it goes. It's still on the downstroke.
I would say around $5, that's where I would start to maybe add some more, and I think it's probably going there.
DeBinder, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Bye.
PMCS is the PMC Sierra Inc. That was the stock we were talking about. I have two new dates for free retirement reviews, August 26th in Dana Point and September 9th in San Jose. You can reserve your time by going to investtalk.com and click on schedule a meeting. Or you can call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. I'd love to meet with you.
Annuities, asset allocation, reading stock market trends, building a truly balanced portfolio. If it's important to you and you want to know more about it, we're here for you. 888-99-CHART.
Justin read us the headlines of an article called Stealth Correction Gets Real Stealth. And, you know, that's kind of what we've been happening. This market has been very... very good the whole year.
Oh, yeah, a lot of stocks underneath the surface. You know, you have the big companies that have done well. And everyone's chasing those kind of companies. But underneath the surface, I would say 20 to 30% of the S&P companies are in correction mode already.
Yeah. I read an article about that. About a third, they're saying a third of the Dow and I forgot, 25% of the S&P 500 are in bear market territory. In other words, more than 20%.
Yeah, down more than 20%.
Yeah, down more. Let's go to Dylan in Fremont. How you doing, Dylan?
Good, thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I have a question. I have a question about a stock. The ticker is KNDI, and I currently own the stock, but it's down about 30%, I would say, year to date. And I'm wondering, is it a good idea to average down?
Okay, you want to buy more? You think you want
usually
to buy more?
No. Nine times out of ten, if you ever ask yourself, is it a good idea to average down? Most of the time, it's no.
Not on an individual stock basis,
yeah.
Certainly. KNDI Technologies, K-A-N-D-I. KNDI is the symbol. KNDI Technologies Group is a Chinese company, manufacturer of pure electric vehicles, go-karts, all-terrain vehicles, and other specialized motor vehicles. It is a $340 million company, market capitalization, meaning it's very, very small. Very, very small. The good things about it is the sales are pretty decent. Sales growth is pretty decent. And it's hard to know.
This company's all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no consistency to earnings. One year, earnings are up. The next year, they're down. The next year, they're up. They're all over the place. Last year, they lost 61 cents. This year, they're supposed to make, or last year, excuse me, 2013, they lost 61 cents. Last year, they made 59 cents. And there's no projections for the for this year or next.
Yeah, so we don't know. I mean, based on earnings, so therefore you have to go by a chart to say, well, is it finding support? And I say not. Well,
this is a week. We're looking at a weekly chart.
On
a daily, it's in a pure downtrend, and I don't see any reason why that's probably going to change. It's near some support. But I'm not getting that capitulation volume to say that this is anything's changing. It had a good couple days, the last few days, but it's likely just a counter trend rally. So,
Dylan, I think you need to be patient on this one. Wait for the whole market to finish this correction, however long that takes.
Yeah, and it's Chinese, so you know the problems in China are probably only going to increase, not decrease. So,
well, yeah, they're trying to boost their economy any way they can without really doing a QE again, but they are they're doing things.
Yeah.
And look how they try to support their stock market. You know, that was one thing. And it what are they trying to do? You know, I think they're kind of floundering a little bit of what they should do.
Yeah, they have a plan, but as soon as they get punched in the mouth, that plan kind of goes out the window, like you said earlier. So that happens to a lot of people, including governments.
Yeah.
The good thing I would say about KNDI, there's three good things. A, no debt. B, it's growing to some extent. And C, ownership owns 29%. Management owns 29%. The rest of it is a big mess, and I don't like that.
So just wait till be patient. Just be patient. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. This is the Thursday edition of Invest Talk. We have one more day in the week. Tomorrow, our newsletter comes out tomorrow. Comes out every Friday. So we'll be producing that in the morning. Before the end of the show, I want to talk about keeping the bubble boom going. And we're talking about the Federal Reserve here. And I want to talk about a little bit of history. I want to give you a little bit of history. How did we get to 0% interest rates? How did we get there? Well, you have to go all the way back to the 1990s to get that story.
And Greenspan.
Yeah, it goes with Greenspan. So we're going to talk about that and give you that background. And then we'll talk about...
what does that mean going forward?
Yeah, exactly. What do you got to do now? What's going to happen? Don't forget to sign up for our free Invest Talk Insider program for radio and podcast listeners. It's put to you. It's put you on the inside of our Invest Talk family. You can get free access to our library of webinars and many more useful information type articles and little vignettes. Sign up for free on InvestTalk.com.
Now is a good time to call InvestTalk.
I had a question on my 401k.
We're here for you. What's your question? 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now on InvestTalk. A special announcement for our podcast listeners. Steve conducts portfolio reviews by Skype
or telephone to anywhere in the U.S. KPP Financial manages retirement portfolios and offers comprehensive financial advisory services to clients all across the country. To take advantage of this free review, just go to investtalk.com and click on Schedule a Meeting. The staff will take care of the rest. And thanks again for subscribing to our podcast.
888-992-4278, and we're going to go talk to Harry in Modesto. How you doing, Harry?
Doing okay. How you doing today?
Good. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, hey, I was thinking about Pilgrim's Pride Corps. I heard about the corn prices being pretty good this year, or the crop being pretty good this year. I was wondering if what's your opinion on that?
Yeah, we've had a bumper crop. We're going to have a bumper crop this year, and we had one last year for corn and I don't know, for wheat as well. And that means prices are probably going to fall, and it will help companies like Pilgrim's Pride,
yeah,
which
they make, they prepare and prepare chickens. They,
yeah, they grow
they
chickens.
Right. Grow chickens, yeah.
Yeah, they grow right. chickens, and of course they feed them with corn. So the question is, you're asking is, so should I buy that because of that? That's only one thing you're looking at that's positive, okay?
Yeah.
So make sure we look at the whole picture here. Okay, the whole picture is earnings are going to go down 27% in next year from this year to $2.37. Sales are actually falling for the most recent quarter and not been growing very well the quarters before that, between 2 and 5%. So I'm not so positive, even though it's a pretty low-priced stock.
And it's very profitable. Lots of free cash flow, about $1 billion per year in the trailing 12 months, which is very healthy for a $5 billion company. Management owns 75% of the company, also very good. Return on equity is 60%.
So those are all really good things.
All very, very, very good things, and it's relatively not cyclical. The biggest issue is that it's in a downtrend, in a pretty protracted downtrend, a high of about $38 back in December, and now we're at about $22.
Now, if you're going to buy it, I would, okay, go ahead and buy it here. But I would not hold on to it below the most recent low.
Yeah. I would love it around 16 and change, 16.50 or so. That would be a big long-term support area. And I think it would be sufficiently cheap at those levels.
So if you wanted to buy it, you're just antsy. You could buy here. If it breaks below, what is that number, Justin? That's about 19 or so.
19 and change. Yeah, 1950.
Get out. Probably going to go to 16.
Yeah.
If it goes 16 and then find support at 16, get back in.
Wow.
Okay?
Excellent.
Thanks, Harry. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Mike in Santa Clara. How you doing, Mike?
Very good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I wanted your opinion on Cisco. I bought it a few years ago. My average cost was about $27, and I think it pays a little bit of dividend, too. Should I fix some profits at this level? I think it's the highest it's ever been.
And we're talking not about Cisco Systems. We're talking about Cisco Corporation. Cisco Corporation is the food distributor and one of the biggest, $24 billion company. Is that correct, Mike? I want to make sure I have the right Cisco. S-Y-Y.
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
Yeah, that's, they distribute food to restaurants.
Okay. Their earnings have been very... This is a very big company, $24 billion, and their earnings are very steady. They've gone up every year... Going back since 2013, even before that, they had the recession years. They still had pretty good earnings even in the recession years.
Mm-hmm. And, the reason it's gone up recently over the past couple weeks is because of activist investors. They're trying to they got some seats on the board and they're going to try to make some changes and you know those type of things usually. Results in change in the company, and that makes investors more optimistic. Sometimes they'll sell the company or you know try to get the company to sell. So I would say a lot of the optimism is built in, and at 22 times earnings for a company that's growing in the mid to high single digits, it's pretty expensive.
Yeah, that's
so
pretty high.
I wouldn't mind cashing, you know, ringing the register here.
There's a kind of company you can hold on to a long term. I mean, we're talking 10 years plus. And they'll pay you a really nice dividend and grow probably very slowly, but grow. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you're trying to capture the most recent move, you do it now. Okay, Mike?
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. I do like they pay a 3% dividend. So if this thing got down to like, you know, $15 level, man, that dividend would be close to 4%.
Yeah.
That's looking pretty attractive.
The biggest issue is now their payout ratio is about 80%. You're starting to get to that.
That's a little high.
It's a little high, you know. But like you said, their earnings don't fluctuate that dramatically.
Yeah, it's nice and steady. We're out of time today, everybody. A quick reminder to test your tolerance for risk. It's essential that you understand this. It's really important factor in your investing success. Do it free at investtalk.com. There's a little free risk questionnaire there. I'm registered investment advisor and financial advisor Steve Peasley, along with Justin Klein today. And for everyone at KPP Financial, thank you for listening. And let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.